Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, Ted Williams. It is a Tuesday, May the 5th, 2020. 5-5-2020. Cinco de Mayo, 17 minutes past the hour, coming up on 18 minutes past the hour. And do want to remind you of a couple things today. Today is a day of tradition because over the last 6 weeks, we have been joined by the mayor of the city of Marion, Scott Schertzer, during this COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, and we will do that momentarily, but also do want to remind you we're going to continue one of our fun traditions, which I think is what we have to do during this time, talk about the serious stuff, but also have a little bit of fun. Legendary Emmy and Grammy Award-winning actress, best known to millions of children and adults as the voice of Ursula in Disney's The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll will be along in just about 20 minutes to celebrate her 93rd birthday with us, which is today, Cinco de Mayo, and we have done that for the last 5 or 6 years with Pat, and I think the social distancing of 6 feet away will be okay this morning because she is in Cape Cod and we are here. Although I did visit her in Cape Cod once, and that was a lot of fun, but I think that's out during the social distancing and the fact that Pat is turning 93 today. Although I spoke with her yesterday, and she was a lot of fun and fine and still sounds the same. So Pat Carroll in just a few minutes here. But we kick off this particular hour joined by the mayor of the city of Marion, a good friend of mine, Mayor Scott Schertzer. Mayor, how are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Doing well. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Here well, we are.
Thank you, and same to you. You know, I was listening to you about Ursula. Just a quick story, if I might. My oldest daughter played Ursula in the Palace Theater Junior version of that show quite a few years ago, and just had a lot of fun with that character.
You know, it's an interesting character, and Pat, who originated it, Pat Carroll, says that was one of the best characters she ever got to play.
Imagine that.
Imagine that, exactly.
Scott, what was the best character you ever got to play?
You know, boy, that's tough, you know, because I did not do a whole lot of acting, but, you know, I portrayed a teacher one time in a play, but it was a really kind of out there teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fun to do because it was a departure for... You want to play characters that are not like yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Challenge yourself, definitely.
Did you ever do any acting?
You know, I never did. But of course, you may know this, and some of your listeners might. I married somebody who is big into musical theater and has portrayed many characters, but... Nope, I just get to play mayor every day, and it's not really a game. It's what I do for a living. So,
well, during this time, you know, now that we are 6-7 weeks into this, what's just your make of the whole thing at this point?
I think it's interesting to watch the evening news now and how more people are on the news that are just throwing caution to the wind. And I'm not here to judge anybody. I think we all kind of maybe deep down inside have some of those feelings ourselves about the coronavirus and the pandemic and the stay-at-home order. And, you know, I tell myself that we did the right thing. We're doing the right thing by minimizing the exposure and minimizing the spread of the virus. But you still have that nagging question behind you, and you have some people that we see on the evening news that are very vocal, if if sometimes not just downright vicious about their feelings and opinions about it. You know, I saw on the news last night where somebody got shot because they were asked to wear a mask in public. That's not where we should be, where we want to be, and where we need to be as a society. Because, again, as I've said so many times, this isn't just about you. It's not about Scott Spears. It's not about Scott Scherzer. It's about our families, our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors, and that's what makes a community. That's what makes a society. And then there are social norms that we should all follow, and some of those norms have definitely changed because of the pandemic.
You know, Mayor, we had Tracy Kinsler on in hour number one, as we've become tradition to do here every Tuesday, and I know you've talked with Tracy, and earlier on she said that because we are all going back at this point, and because the COVID is not going away, and we do not have a vaccine at this point, that this is really, the last 2 months have kind of been ramp up to what we're about to see. This will be, in her opinion, when the hospitals start to fill up, when more people get sick, because more people are going to be out. What's your read on that?
Well, unfortunately, I think she may be right, but if we continue to practice the medical advice of Dr. Acton and the public health advice of the likes of Tracy Kinsler, that, you know, we can still minimize our exposure to COVID-19. And after all, that's what we all want. You know, I have two teenage daughters, and we were talking about it last night over dinner, and they're kind of like, yeah, but isn't this just the bad flu? And I'm like, yeah, but more people are dying from this so-called bad flu. So it's different than the normal flu that, you know, spreads throughout our communities every, you know, winter time. So preparing for what's coming, I think I would tend to agree with that. We had to mentally prepare ourselves. We definitely had to socially prepare ourselves. It was so hard at the very beginning not to shake hands. And I was listening to your ad just before, and we're learning new ways to acknowledge one another, even with a mask on, where you can't see somebody's smile. You can't see the expression on their face, which that nonverbal language is so important in the kind of society that we live in. It may be easier for some people, for example, the millennials and younger generation, they're not as used to that social interaction. And I'm not saying that they're not, so I don't want the millennials all calling the mayor's office, but they're accustomed to a different social interaction than maybe what the baby boomers or the Gen Xers are. So I think it's just it would be a very interesting sociological study. I hope some sociologist is out there studying what society is going through and how it changes those norms and values in society. And we won't know what those changes really mean for months and maybe years down the road, because we could fall back to our old ways, and we know through medical advice that would just cause a continued spread, or even an uptick in spread, which is probably something we're going to see as we slowly start to reopen our state, our community, and our city.
One of our norms takes place on Sunday, Mother's Day, and it's typically known as the day of the year when restaurants are the most busy. As far as I know, there will be no restaurants open for sit-down this coming Sunday, but the weather has been nicer. We are getting into the middle of May. It is Mother's Day. How do you think that'll all play out?
Well, I hope everybody, again, follows the advice of Dr. Acton. And you know, I think the governor has been pretty clear. It's 10 people or less, and you should probably know those 10 people very well. You know, I know what we'll do is we'll all, my immediate family, my wife and my two daughters, will get in our car, and then we will drive over to my mom's and my wife's mother's house, and we'll give them a card and probably a hanging plant. That's what we normally do. under these circumstances, and we'll keep our social distance. You know, we won't go inside. We'll either stay in the car or sit outside, but you'll have that. That's about all you can do. Now, under normal circumstances, everybody would be over at my house, and we'd be doing a cookout for the moms in our lives. And unfortunately, that's probably not something your listeners should do this year. We can make up for it, and we can find other alternatives to honor our mothers.
Graduation has become a big topic. We got calls here last week that people were thinking about having a parade. Now we know what people can and can't do. There are some virtual ideas. There are some ideas that we can have people walk across the stage with a limited number of people in the room, people wearing masks. I guess that's kind of being put together now, as Tracy was saying, in hour number one. How do you think this is all going to turn out over the next month, graduation-wise?
Well, again, I think it's going to be very unorthodox. I think the class of 2020 will have one of the most unusual graduations in recent memory, and obviously in yours and my memory, we will never have experienced anything like this or seen anything. I still think that they should make sure that they practice the social distancing and what the medical community is telling us. I have been a part of some of those conversations. I've had two or three conversations with Dr. Ron Arusi of the Marion City Schools. I was on a conference call, just not really a participant, but just listening in with the County Sheriff Tim Bailey, Chief of Police Bill Collins. Tracy was on it. I think all the county superintendents and then maybe a few other people, where they talked through it, you know, and we referred to the Department of Education, who has made recommendations. And then last week it was a topic of conversation at the governor's press conference, and I believe that the Department of Education has made some modifications and further suggestions on what you might do for a graduation. But again, I think it's important for us here in Marion to recognize that compared to our neighboring counties, we have a much higher rate of infection, and yes, it is because of the Marion Correctional Institution, and yes, most of those cases are incarcerated as inmates on Marion Williamsport Road, but there are corrections officers who come in and out of there, and they have children, and they have family members, and their health and welfare is just as important as anybody on the outside of the fence and walls of MCI. So, you know, we did talk to Dr. Arusi about a parade, but because there's a stay-at-home order, the city didn't feel comfortable at all about issuing a parade permit, which is something we would have to do. We would have to close off the side streets, you know, and it just didn't seem like the right thing to do. So I believe the Marion City Schools are moving towards more of a drive-through graduation. I know others are talking about doing something different. That's their call. I think that each superintendent has been asked to submit their plan for graduation to Tracy, and then Tracy will speak to the sheriff and the chief of police, and they'll either make recommendations on the plan submitted by the superintendents, and then hopefully everybody will still have a very safe graduation, and there won't be a spike in the infection rate in our county because of a graduation ceremony or even graduation parties after the ceremonies take place, which is obviously a common practice when you have a high school or a college graduate taking place.
Mayor, I want to just touch on the prison here for a second because, and I know you have no say over what's going on there at this particular point, but there are stories this week about inmates asking judges for release because you can't really social distance in the prison. Our numbers are a lot higher because of the prison. What do you think the long-term effect of this is?
Well, that's interesting. You know, you've heard a lot about prison reform lately, and should nonviolent offenders be serving decades for crimes committed against society? I think if that's something that society wants to be done, then they should do that by electing their state legislators and their federal legislators. We need to know where the lawmakers stand on laws like this, because after all, they're the ones that created the laws that gave the sentencing standards for them. And I know that judges have some discretion, but there are many cases where the judicial system doesn't have that discretion. And of course, we're not talking about violent crimes, we're talking about nonviolent crimes. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, this year we have an election for our state legislature. We have an election for all the Congress people in Ohio are up this year. So it is very important to exercise your right to vote, because this could be a topic, an agenda for the legislative branch of government moving forward after this November's election. So you might want to know where your state rep, your state senator, and even your congressman stand on these particular types of issues. Because again, they're the ones that pass the laws. That's what the legislative branch does. The executive branch enforces it, and then you obviously have the judicial branch, which is where you do the adjudication and the sentencing and, you know, things like that. So I guess that's how I view it. I believe it will have a change, and I just don't know that we know what it looks like yet.
As we look ahead, how is the city doing at this particular point?
Well, you know, last week, Scott, we talked about bringing all of our employees back to work to their normal work schedules, their normal hours. We platooned a lot of our departments, and street department and sanitation, only one-third of the department was working in a week at a time. And again, we did that to minimize exposure. And now that the state is beginning to slowly reopen, all the city employees are considered essential, so we felt it important to get everybody back to work. We have put in place the practices that Dr. Acton has recommended. We've asked all our employees to wear face masks, even in City Hall, which is still closed to the public, and will remain closed to the public at least until the governor lifts his stay-at-home order and the state of emergency has been lifted. But we're beginning to practice those health protocols, you know, taking a temperature in the morning when everybody comes into the office or into the garage or the firehouse or whatever the case may be, and wear a mask around your coworkers. We don't want you spreading it to your coworkers. And most of the time, that community spread, we don't even know we're doing it. That's the whole challenge here. You know, it's not something that you can see, but it's definitely something you're going to feel in a few days or in a few weeks if you have been contracted and exposed to the virus.
Mayor, before we part ways here, there was a bit of a contradictory message that I heard from people this past week that, you know, here we are, we're trying to get the economy back open, we're trying to send people back out with masks and things of that nature, and in that same time period, the Marion County Fair cancels, the Prospect Firework Display, which is a big thing every year, cancels. Those events obviously both take place the first week of July. Here we are in May. How do you think that message hit people, and do you think those were good ideas?
Well, I am not going to really take a stand on whether it was a good idea or not. It may have been premature. I know in my initial conversation with the Popcorn Committee president last week, we talked about the Popcorn Festival. Yes, it's the second weekend of September. But we do have a conference call scheduled for May 21st, I think, that's in a couple of weeks, to continue our discussion. I don't think that they're ready to make a decision, and the city's not ready to say, you know, take a position on that yet either. I can just simply say for the month of May that the city will not approve any parade permits or block permits or any, I know Third Thursday has been canceled for the month of May. So So I think you take it 1 month at a time and 1 week at a time. As we get into that last week of May, then we're going to start talking about the June 3rd Thursday and any other activities that are more community spread or community effort on whether we do anything with that. The pool has been, a big topic of conversation. I don't know if we're opening up the pool. I haven't made a definitive decision yet. And a lot of my decisions are based on what the governor allows us to do. When there's a stay-at-home order, a state of emergency, I cannot open the pool. It's 10 people or less. If in June the governor moves it to 100 people or less, do I open the pool and say, oh, we're only letting the first 100 people in? But the governor has not even alluded to, at this point, opening up entertainment venues. And I know a pool isn't entertainment per se, but yet it would probably fall into that category or that realm of when the governor would allow us to open up. We are seeing pools and aquatic centers and other municipalities in Central Ohio already announcing they're closed for the season. And that may happen here in Marion. I just want everybody to understand that may happen because the season is so short. Kids go back to school in the middle of August. So we need to make our money in June, July, and then we get this big fall off in August because football starts and volleyball and sports and cheerleading, and the next thing you know, school starts. And that is about, 85% of our workforce right there. So I think we need to be careful how we make these decisions. I think we need to make them by committee and talk them over, and that's exactly what we're going to do with the Popcorn Committee come May 21st, is start that discussion in earnest, if you will.
It's going to be very interesting to see how the summer of 2020 plays out. Mayor Scott Schertzer. Mayor, I will talk with you next Tuesday. Thank you for your time, as always.
I look forward to it. Thank you very much, and your listeners, stay healthy.
Thank you. Mayor of the City of Marion, Scott Schertzer. Now, we are going to take a break, and hopefully this very short but in break with the lady herself, Pat Carroll. So stay tuned.
We're having fun every day from 1 to 3 p.m. on Now with Scott Spears right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Just ask legendary comedian Phyllis Diller.
Why hasn't the world found Scott and put him on a pedestal? And, after all, Larry King can't live forever.
Or legendary actress Jane Meadows.
That's one of the reasons I tell you you're the best of all the interviewers. And that's why I love you and your show, dear.
Actress and singer Marla Gibbs.
As long as you breathe, you'd better believe it's never too late for life. So drop all your fear, 'cause as long as you're here, it's never too late for life.
Our professional wrestler and movie star Ox Baker.
I want to tell you, listeners of the WWGH, this is Ox Baker. Mayor of Ohio, I know you listen to WWGH. You better start listening.
Or the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Hello there. How are you? Scott Spoons here in Ohio. And Scott, I just want to let you know I love you as an individual. I always refer to Marion as being the home of WCMH's Bob Nunnally, and now I refer to it as the home of Scott Spears.
That's Now with Scott Spears, 1 to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, right here on WWGH 107.1 FM, the place to be.
Hey, Scott Spears back with you on this Cinco de Mayo, Tuesday, May the 5th, 2020, 5-5-2020, 41 minutes past the hour, and we are going to spend the rest of the morning with one of my favorite people. We have been doing this now, I believe, for 5 or 6 years. Cinco de Mayo is the exact birthday of Emmy and Grammy Award-winning actress Pat Carroll, probably best known at this point as the voice of Ursula in Disney's The Little Mermaid. I was with some younger kids the other night, 4 or 5 years old, and they were talking about how much they love The Little Mermaid. It is their favorite movie, and we just spoke with the mayor on the telephone, and he was talking about how one of his daughters portrayed Ursula in a school production of The Little Mermaid, but there is really only one original Ursula, and that is a dear friend of this program, one of the most gracious ladies I have ever known, Pat Carroll. And before we go to Pat, because it is so popular, we're going to hear a little bit of that great song from The Little Mermaid, sung by Pat Carroll, Poor Unfortunate Souls.
Pathetic. Poor unfortunate souls in pain. In need. This one longing to be thinner, that one wants to get the girl, and do I help them?
Yes, indeed.
Those poor unfortunate souls, so sad, so true. They come flocking to my cauldron, crying, spells, Ursula, please, and I help them?
Yes, I do.
Now it's happened once or twice, someone couldn't pay the price, and I'm afraid I had to rake them across the coals. Yes, I've had the odd complaint, but on the whole, I've been a saint to those poor, unfortunate souls.
One of the best ladies you will ever want to find, the legendary actress herself, most gracious lady to get up early with us on her 93rd birthday, Pat Carroll. Pat, happy birthday.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, and I feel younger than ever.
We are all glad to hear it. Pat, what is the secret to make it to 93?
Sheer good luck, because I've had a profligate life. But I've enjoyed every second of it, and I think that's the answer. I think if you enjoy living, then you're going to do a job of it and have a good life.
You know, Pat, at 93, what do your days look like?
What do they look like?
Yeah, how do you spend your days?
Well, they're all different because every day has a different to-do about it. But I spend my days mostly writing, and I'm working on the book of my life right now and having a ball. Oh my golly, so many people are coming back to my life just out of memory, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's so nice to be this old and to be able to look back at a life that has been so full of so many wonderful people. You know, that's really what it's all about, isn't it?
It really is, and it's interesting, Pat, and this was all serendipitous, but in the last 3 days, as I said in the introduction, I talked to a little girl the other night, couldn't have been 4 years old, said her favorite movie is The Little Mermaid. Talked to the mayor. He said his daughter had portrayed Ursula in a production of The Little Mermaid.
Oh, how wonderful.
This lives on forever.
Isn't it marvelous? Well, you know, and I think it's part of the Disney legend, too. They know from long years of experience, if you touch the heartstrings, you're going to be around for a long time. And that can be in laughter, that can be in tears, that can be in any emotional way. And they have such a good handle on all of those emotional things in their work. And I just admire what they have done over the years so much because I've been a member of the audience and from the time I was a little kid. And they have served us so beautifully. We, the people who watch all of their products, it's just, I hope they're as proud of themselves as they should be.
You know, Pat, that movie was released 31 years ago.
Get out of here.
Unbelievable.
Not 31 years ago.
31 years, 1989, that movie was released.
Oh, my Lord, I didn't think I was that old. Oh, what a joy. Wasn't I fortunate to be in it?
Well, you know what I think about? 31 years, you would have been 62 when you did Ursula. You're 90,
right.
93 now. What has that period, the last 31 years, with this character been like?
It's been wonderful, as all of my life has been. And I am so fortunate. And every day I say my prayers of thanksgiving to the good Lord for the life I have been given to live. It has been a joy to do. I have delighted in every second of it. I am so grateful that I've worked in the industry I've worked in. I have nothing but gratitude.
Pat, how do you plan to spend this 93rd birthday?
How do I plan to spend it? Just having a ball. I'm going to go out for dinner with friends. I'm going to laugh a lot. I'm going to be in touch with all of my family and they with me. And that's the way it should go.
What lessons can you teach us at this point for somebody who has lived nearly a century? What have you learned about life?
Just live it. And you know what? Take the bad along with the good because you learn from that as well. And don't be petulant about it when you hit a rough streak. Just live through it. Live through it and be valiant. And that's what life is all about.
You know, Pat, it's interesting because we all live through the good times, and those are easy to handle, but the bad times are not. We've talked about this before. You had the loss of a child in your life. How do you get through those rough times?
You get through it with, I don't know what one would call it, I suppose it's religious. I think you get through it by knowing that God puts everything in our lives to teach us, to prepare us, and just accept and live through it with as much valiance as you can, because that is life. And it ain't easy a lot of times, but the times that it is easy, it's divine. But the tough times are there to teach us lessons, too, and they're lessons we all should learn. And I think that's why the good Lord lets us go through a lot of our problems in life, just to learn things that we should know. And that's why we shouldn't buck it too much. Just live through it and do the best that you can. And that's all the good Lord would expect of us.
Pat, at 93, is there anything left that you still want to accomplish?
Oh, I still want to accomplish so much. There's still so many things theatrically that I haven't done. There are many roles in Shakespeare I would like to play because I think Shakespeare is just about the finest thing that any actor can do. It teaches you something every time you do a Shakespearean role. You learn, you learn, you learn. It's never ending. And I am so grateful that I've had a whack at the good old Shakespeare because you just, it's just one thing as an actor you must do.
Mm. You know, Pat, at this particular point, would you like to be in a movie? Would you like to be in a TV series? Would you like to get back up on stage?
I would like to do anything. I just love to work. I enjoy the work I do with such pleasure, and I have. One of my daughters is a professional actress, and we have more fun comparing notes and talking about the work that we do, and she's so good. And the one thing that she does that I am so proud of, she will not work on a set that is depressing. She makes sure that every set that she works on has energy, has interest, and is valid. And I am so proud of her for that, because a lot of actors just accept whatever. You have charge of where you work, and you have charge of making that work area the way you want it. And she does that, and I am so proud of her for that.
Mm. Pat, when you look back at it now, is there a part that sticks out in your mind in your 93 years that you would say, that's my favorite role?
Oh, what a good question. Yes, I think so. And it was one I did in a one-woman show. No, I can't remember it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, is that something? Well, what was it that I did in a one-woman show? Now I can't even remember that. Look how your mind fails you when you're 93.
Oh, yeah, I believe, Pat, it was Gertrude Stein.
I think you're right. Look at you. What a help you are. Bless your heart. Well, that was the most joyous experience of my theatrical life because it was my idea to do. I learned a great deal from it about that woman's life. And it was a joy and a treasure to perform. Every performance, I loved it. I loved it.
You know, Pat, there might be a lot of young, aspiring actresses, actors listening to this program. What advice would you give them?
Oh, golly, there's so much to say to young actors. But the major thing is learn. Learn. Always learn something new from every role you play. From every performance that you give, don't ever stop learning about your profession. It's a wonderful profession. I'm so glad I've been in it all my life. I thank the good Lord every day for allowing me to do this work. It's just been so fulfilling and so joyous. Because you're always sharing with audiences. You share with other human beings as an actor. And that's such a good thing. Any job that allows you to share life with other human beings is good work.
You know, Pat, I want to talk a little bit about this because I think you'd have some tremendous insight. A lot of people, when they go to college or they get out of high school, they go into jobs that are maybe safer, but not necessarily the jobs that they want to do. Jobs that maybe will pay the bills, pay the rent, pay for gas for the car.
Right.
But you chose the profession you wanted to do, and so few people who go into it make it on the level that you did. What do you think allowed you to make it?
Just sticking with it. I think that's true of any profession or any work that you choose in life. You've got to stick with it, and you've got to put all of your energy and thinking into it, and your enthusiasm, and your consciousness that you can reach other human beings. And that's what we're here for on this earth of ours. I think is to touch each other, to reach each other, to contact each other. I think that's what we're all here for.
What advice would you give to somebody who might be in a job now that pays the bills, but they really have something else that they want to do that they love?
Oh, dear. Well, it's very frustrating, but I think I would say to anyone who is in that situation, you've got to do what's right for your life and for you. And if this is what you want, you've got to do it. Because you wouldn't have that wish, that feeling, that urge, unless it were something in you that needs to be stated in life, to be shared with other people. And that's what we're all here for, is to share with each other, and we touch each other. And we see now in the dire days that we're having on this planet Earth that touching each other is the most important thing. Being there for each other is the most important thing. That's why we're here. is to share with each other. And it's a wonderful, wonderful mission.
Pat, in 93 years, do you have any regrets?
Oh, my golly, yes. Don't we all? But you know what? I don't think about those regrets. I only think about all the things that I've done that I wanted to do, that I did with enthusiasm and with encouragement from other good people. And I am very grateful.
When you, and not that we all analyze ourselves, but when you think of the tremendous success, Grammy, Emmy Award, what? How do you define your life when you look back on it?
I define my life by saying I have been so fortunate to be able to do what I wanted to do in life with enthusiasm, and I learned all the time. It's a profession that's given back to me in so many ways. But the major thing is, in this profession, is that you're contacting other human beings. And that's really one of the most joyous things any of us can do on whatever level.
Pat, anybody who's ever listened to any interview we've ever done or anybody who's ever met you knows you have the most giving and kind disposition in the world. Even when we're on the phone, when I talked to you yesterday off the air, you're the same person on the air, off the air. Where did your kind, happy disposition come from?
From my parents, of course. That's where it always starts, in the home, isn't it? And my mother, God bless her, my dad was something special, but my mother was just the most fascinating human being. She was intriguing. And I think about her every day of my life. Something tickles me, makes me laugh. She made me laugh so much, and that is such a marvelous thing to share with a child. Is laughter. Oh, golly, how touching that is. And my mother made me laugh so much, and we laughed together, and it was wonderful.
You know,
I miss her a lot.
I can absolutely imagine. Pat, we have about a minute left here, and we started with Poor Unfortunate Souls, which so many people love. And on the occasion of your 93rd birthday, before we part ways here, would you just be able, people love your voice, would you just be able to give us a little line of a song that maybe pops in your head?
What song?
Any song you want to do.
I'll be loving you always, with a love that's true, always. When the things you plan need a helping hand, I will understand. Always, always. Days may not be fair, always. That's when I'll be there, always, not for just an hour, not for just a day, not for just a year, but always. Isn't that a lovely song?
What a wonderful song, and what a wonderful way you sing it. Pat, as I said, we've been doing this. We visit at Christmas. We visit at Thanksgiving. We visit on your birthday. And any day that Pat Carroll comes along is a good day to visit. On behalf of a whole lot of people, and may it continue forever, I'm so happy to wish you a 93rd birthday. Very happy 93rd birthday. You know, I love you to death, Pat.
Oh, you are an angel, and I always enjoy our visits so much. Don't stop.
Take care, Pat. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Scott, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The legendary, the wonderful Emmy Award, Grammy Award winning voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll. How about that? 93 years young today. Don't forget, coming up today on the station, Adam the Computer Guy 2 to 3, Voice of a People 4 to 5, and the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker 5 to 6. But for this day, Cinco de Mayo, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day